Hey out there, this is Scott McKay, and welcome to the bonus episode of X and Y on the Fly, where we're going to talk about how we gave birth to our brand new
song. Oh, honey.
Yes, Emily.
What's this wee stuff?
Live from the mysterious, mist-enshrouded mountaintop fortress that is X and Y Communications Headquarters, you're listening to X and Y on the Fly, the dating podcast, with your hosts, Scott and Emily.
All right, this is Scott McKay.
And this is Emily McKay.
Welcome to what we're calling the bonus episode of X and Y on the Fly.
That's right. This is on the birth of our son.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of you have been sending us cards and emails and really thinking about us and asking us all sorts of things. And we're especially interested in the whole home birth concept that we did. So we figured we'd do this bonus episode for you, for those of you who wanted to listen to it and learn more about it, because it really was a pretty wild ride.
It was fascinating. I loved it. Knowing what I know now, I would have done it all over again the same way.
Yeah, you know, back in February when we first found out that this was all going to happen, we started going to the OBGYN guy.
Right.
And you decided pretty quickly that you wanted to do the home birth.
That's right. I changed it really quick.
But, you know, you'd always wanted to do it.
Always. Ever since David was born or before he was born, I've always wanted to do a home birth.
Like on your top 10 things to do.
That's right.
But you sort of conveniently never told me.
I never thought to tell you.
Well, we ended up firing the OBGYN, and he was pissed.
Oh, yeah. He told me never to come back again. I wasn't welcome there.
I mean, what is this? I mean, you'd sign a Hippocratic oath, right? It's more like a hypocritical oath.
Right.
I mean, he wouldn't even go see you when something else happened.
Right. When I had just minor things that, you know, colds, flus, whatever.
Yeah.
I was just left on my own.
Yeah. I mean, whatever went on, I mean, he was like, you do not have a doctor anymore.
And couldn't get a doctor from that point forward either.
I know. It was like completely messed up. And then like insurance on top of that wouldn't even acknowledge the fact that you were going to use the midwives.
Right.
So, I mean, this is like a completely unpopular, like you would think it's unheard of nowadays in the United States to do.
It's kind of rare in the United States, but it's very common around the world.
Yeah. I mean, I'll admit, like I said, I was skeptical at first. I was like, man, what if something happens? You know, especially since your son just turned 12.
That's right.
It's been 12 years since you gave birth to a kid, and the first one was by C-section.
Yeah, and the thing is, I never even went into labor with him. So for me, the whole experience was completely brand new.
Yeah, right. Well, for me too. I mean, Danielle just turned 8. It'd been 8 years since I had a kid. Well, like we all talked about at the beginning, I don't have the kids. Okay. The joke's on me, right? But, you know, it was something completely different. I mean, we didn't really know for sure whether we were going to be able to have children easily or not, and we were just blessed.
Yes, we were.
Yeah, we were also thinking it was going to be twins at the beginning.
Yes.
Because you had taken the medication, and who knows, right?
We thought they might be multiples, and then they were down to two, and then they finally figured out there was just one.
Yeah, I mean, no wonder the doctor was so pissed, because we put that guy through so much drama. I mean, I can sort of understand. I mean, Emily would go in there, and you had, like, the cyst thing working. I mean, there's a whole bunch of TMI going on here. But, I mean, there was certain things that the doctor was looking at, and he, like, looks at you one day and goes, you know, in this understated doctor way. He goes, oh, yeah, look at that. It looks like we might have another little egg sac there. I'm like, what? Oh, yeah, could be twins. I need to put you two on twin alert. So then we ruled out the twins, right?
Right.
And then after that, what happened? He thought we were going to have, like, multiple pregnancies that happened at different times.
Right. He was afraid we might get pregnant a second time, so then we were on restriction.
And he thought we'd already done it at one point.
Right.
It was like a Lewis Black moment, like, blah, 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 what? Right? I don't know about you, but all the sex education I'd ever had growing up said, once a woman is pregnant, you know, like, she doesn't have much danger of getting pregnant again.
Wrong.
What in the world? My whole life, I thought I knew pretty much how the human reproductive system works, right?
Right.
Wrong I was. Apparently, folks, in certain situations, you can get pregnant and then get pregnant again?
It's rare, but it is. It's been known to happen.
Okay. Fast forward 5-6 years. These two kids are in kindergarten together. Hey, is this your sister? Yes. And so you're twins? No. Well, you were born at the same time. No. How much older are you than this one? Two and a half months.
2.5 months.
How is that possible? You know, they're just kindergarten.
Right, right.
Oh, one of you is adopted. No.
That'd be an easy one to tease the kids with. You know, how the kids like to taunt each other.
Man, just talk about how you would just mess with everybody you've ever met. You're not adopted. You're not twins. You probably have some family resemblance, right?
Right.
And you're born 2.5 hours. Yeah, right. 2.5 months separate from each other.
Crazy.
That is absolutely nutso. Have you ever met anyone?
No.
Even heard of anyone like that?
No, but my midwives have.
They have?
Yes.
Yeah, well, your midwives have been through it all. So we hired the midwives. We are going to this lady's house. She's got a bedroom set up with medical equipment, and it's just crazy. It doesn't compute for me.
No, and she's less than 5 minutes from our home.
Exactly. I mean, she's very nice. She's got two other ladies working with her. They're all, you know, guys, look, you always have to support your woman when she's pregnant, right? I go into this room, and it is an estrogen-laced love fest. Dude, I'm telling you. You might as well go to, like, a baby shower, followed by a tea party, followed by shoe shopping, and you'll have an idea what it's like to be in this room with these women. And they're telling her that her tummy looks so cute, and it's like, you know, I thought they were lesbians. I really did. I thought it was all a big lesbian love fest.
We're just women. We just love each other.
Oh, man, I don't know. Something freaky going on. The only reason I knew your midwife wasn't a lesbian is she grabbed my ass while you were giving birth to our son.
What can I say? It looks great.
The midwife grabbed my ass? And she's the one, it's like, you know, she's like, oh, God bless you. And they go to, like, this, you know, charismatic Christian church, and she listens to nothing but Christian music. If you go to her MySpace page, it's like, you know, the Christian lesbian love fest. It's crazy. But nonetheless, especially given the surroundings and the situation, I was completely shocked. I mean, you get your ass grabbed in a bar on St. Patrick's Day by some unknown chick somewhere, right? Not by a professional helping you give birth to your kid while your kid's being born.
She's the one with 9 kids, right?
Yeah. Here's how it worked, okay? Emily was totally in the throes of last stage of getting Junior through the birth canal. I mean, obviously, we're going all over the place with this story. She goes, all right, here's a towel. Get Emily to pull on the towel. Stand over Emily and, you know, provide leverage as she pulls on the towel. So Emily's kind of like on her side, on her back, sort of. I'm standing over her, right?
And bending over a little bit. Midwife is behind
you. Midwife is behind me with one of those strange mountain bike xenon lights on her head, like a, you know, modern day minor / extreme sports athlete would wear. And she reaches up and grabs my ass. Complete with a noise. I'm like, what was that? And she just looks at me and giggles. And you know what my first thought was?
What's that?
If this was an OBGYN, that was a doctor, and she grabbed my ass in the hospital,
right?
There's just not a chance.
Oh, well.
And if it was a male OBGYN, right?
Right.
And he grabbed your ass, there's just no, it's just not happening. I mean, talk about the whole double standard between men and women.
So there's a double standard.
Unfreaking believable. You know what? And your other midwife is going around saying, oh, you remind me of my husband so much. I mean, it was a little creepy.
Oh, poor baby.
Well,
our baby.
Yeah, I was busy. So anyway, we go through this whole process. Finally, on a Friday, when we were going to go out and like have our last bastion of hope at having like an evening out, your water breaks.
It breaks that morning,
yeah.
Just after 11 o'clock.
Right. We were planning like a nice weekend because Junior wasn't due for like another 2 weeks.
Right.
Like a week and a half.
Week and 8 days.
And you were in labor for how long?
Oh, goodness. I didn't have that baby until 9:12 Saturday night.
34 and a half hours.
Almost, yeah.
Folks, let me tell you something. Like I said, Emily's first birth was C-section. This was like her first shot at it.
Yeah, I didn't know exactly what to expect. I knew it was going to be a lot of pain.
And your doctor had advised against the natural birth anyway because you'd had a C-section before.
Yeah, he wanted me to have a C-section.
And we did all the research, and it was like, okay.
Not necessary.
Not necessary. So here we are, and, you know, here I am, Dad. And obviously, given what we do around here, I talk a lot about holding it together, being the man, being the leader.
Yes.
Doing what's right, all that stuff, right? And, you know, for some reason, I'm not freaking out. But in the back of my mind, I was a little concerned about everything the doctors had ever said about not having a home birth or a natural birth after you'd had a C-section before, and then doing this at home where we were, you know, going to have to go to the hospital if something happened.
Correct.
So, you know, I was concerned. I wouldn't say nervous. I wouldn't say gripping. But I was keeping a close, watchful eye. So finally, you call the midwives and say, my water's broke. I'm having contractions. And they go basically, okay, that's nice. Call us later. Another Lewis Black moment. What? You know, this is the part where you go to the hospital. But I soon learned that maybe the home birth thing wasn't such a bad deal.
Well, because, I wasn't even in pain at that point.
Yeah, so like what happened? Something happened about 7 o'clock that night where you called the midwife and said, you better get your butt over here.
No, you did that. No, what happened was around 5:30, the midwife shows up because we were expecting her to show up to check to see how my progress was coming along because I wasn't experiencing any labor pains just yet.
Right.
So to get things moving along, she gave me some golden seals.
Right.
And gave me instructions to take them, so I took them.
What's a golden seal for the benefit of everybody?
It's like an herbal supplement.
Yeah. I mean, these folks are totally into like being naturals.
Right.
The whole alternative medicine thing, the whole homeopathic woo-woo stuff. They're like a bunch of new agers on top of all else, right?
Right.
This they can't carry medicine. They're not medical doctors.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
But this is the equivalent of Pitocin in the hospital. Where
in the chemically driven medical high price world.
Right, yeah. Which helps start your labor, but right. It's not as mean or as strong as the medicine is. So probably not more than 30 minutes, maybe 15 minutes after taking this pill, yes, my contractions get started, and boy, did they get started.
You're right. I was the one who called and said, y'all need to get over here.
Well, I called her, let her know that the labor pains have started, and she right. says, call me, or do you want me to come over? I said, no, I'm fine right now. She says, call me when you're ready for me. I said, okay.
So that's when I drew you a bath.
Yes.
A bubble bath.
A bubble bath.
And you relaxed in the bubble bath, and, you know, that was supposed to get your labor pains feeling a little bit better, maybe not so intense, to relax you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But we completely blew that because we decided to go at it in the bathtub.
Yeah, 24 nobody hours knew about it except for us.
Yeah, nobody knew about it. Emily and I decided to go at it in the bathtub 24 hours before our son's born. And fortunately, we find out later that was probably a good thing.
That's right. Yeah. We were, as it turns out, we were allowed to. We probably could have done it again if we'd known we had permission.
Sure, why not? So before we digress too hard, you get out of the bathtub, and we realize, that's when I realized this is not going to be such a bad deal. Because I went in and I started watching the football game.
Right.
I'd be pacing back and forth at some hospital somewhere. Meanwhile, I'm in there literally watching some college football game.
Right.
I know the Spurs were on.
That's right, they were. They were
playing. I was watching the Spurs game on HD on TNT on a Friday night.
In your living room.
Yes, that's right. And finally your parents came over.
Yes.
So all the night, all the next morning, we had a house full of your parents.
Right.
Your son, David.
Mm-hmm.
You and I and three midwives. And that's when we had the midwives at the table talking about life, eating chips.
And tamales. Oh, which, by the way, we had bad tamales, which made us all sick that night.
Yeah. We decided we were going to go get tamales, which if you don't live in South Texas, these are these really incredibly good but really fattening types of Mexican food that you always have kind of during the holidays, especially during special occasions. Emily wanted tamales. I went out and got tamales, and
Friday night we were sick.
Everybody got sick off the tamales.
And I'm sick.
You're sick and in labor at the same time. That was
whammy.
Brutal.
Yes.
Man, that was totally wrong. Yeah, you get food poisoned while you're trying to give birth. Now, that's something that wouldn't have happened at the hospital.
I would hope not.
You would hope not. Well, you just get sick with everybody else's stuff in the hospital and go home.
Right.
Yeah, something like that. All right, so all night long, it's like everybody's sitting around the table just shooting the breeze. It was the strangest thing in the world. The next day, more of the same, and Emily's just not having this kid.
Mm-mm. I'm having labor pains, but nothing's happening.
And here's the deal. We're like walking around the neighborhood. We're taking walks hand in hand around the neighborhood. Emily's in labor. She should be at a hospital somewhere, but no. We're walking around the neighborhood. The neighbors are
completely oblivious. Yes, to the fact right. I'm
oh,
in
hi.
Labor.
How are you two doing? Oh, we're in labor. Oh, she's in labor. There I go with the wee stuff again. Crazy, crazy stuff.
Right.
You have to kind of pinch yourself and go, all right, look, before about 60 or 70 years ago, this is the way everybody did things.
Right.
You kind of just sort of have to say, look, I'll tell you. You know what the big epiphany was for me?
What's that?
The whole concept that being pregnant and having a child is not a medical condition.
That's right.
Nobody's sick.
No, it's completely natural.
It's completely normal. And that and the fact that when a woman is on her back, gravity's not working with you. It's working against you.
Correct.
And the only reason that they do that at a hospital is doctors are too proud to squat and get stuff all over them.
Oh, yeah. It's a mess.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And it's inconvenient and it's hard to see.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you something. We took the walk around the neighborhood. We come back in the house. And they do a little exam on you, and look, everything's just not moving. Right. We're starting to get a little concerned, but the vitals on you and on the kid are fine.
Well, it's because we're relaxed and happy.
That's right.
We're not stressed.
Yeah, you were wonderful. You, like, totally were relaxed. The midwives couldn't believe how laid back we were.
Oh, yeah. They were impressed with you, too.
Well.
You had it all handled, and you had it together, and especially in the very end when I'm screaming and everything, and you're coaching me.
Let me tell you guys something. We talk a lot about taking the lead and how women want male leadership. We had done everything to get you to coax this kid into existence, right? Into, like, breathing oxygen instead of staying in the womb.
We finally came to the last straw of what we can do for me.
Yes.
And the last part was to take this golden seal again. I only took one pill the first time.
Right.
Because it was strong enough.
Right.
And so she comes and she says, okay, we could take you to the hospital, but that means that they'll probably give you the Pitocin. And induce C-section. Your labor and probably do the C-section.
Yeah.
Or we could, and I knew what the words were going to say come out of her mouth. Or we could take the golden seal.
And that's the stuff that just puts you in intense pain because of the really strong contractions.
Right. I'm like, oh.
Or we could take you for a ride around the neighborhood in your dad's buckboard of a Suzuki SUV.
Yeah. I'm like, well, could I just do one? That's when you stepped up and said, just do both.
I said, Emily, look. Do you want to give birth to this kid, or do you want to keep thinking about it and keep having labor pains? Or do you want to meet your new son? I say we do both. And she looked at me and goes, okay.
And the midwives were like, yes!
Thank you for making the decision. It was the most poignant example of women looking to a guy just hoping he'll make a decision I've ever seen. And again,
they just loved you for it.
Right. And it's not even me who's giving birth. I'm not the one who has to deal with the pain. And you all still wanted me to make the decision. It was just...
Well, I didn't want to go through the pain.
Well, but you wanted to meet your son.
I did. I wanted to meet my son. And I needed the encouragement.
So we did all that. And you're just screaming your poor little brains out while we're taking this ride. No, no. You're like begging me not to go over speed bumps.
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness.
We have like the speed bump hell for a neighborhood. So, you know, poor Emily, you know, she is getting to where this is about to happen. So we've come back and you've taken this golden seal stuff.
Yeah. And after all the bumps in the roads, I'm in full active labor. I'm in intense labor.
And lo and behold, it's crunch time.
Yes.
You're about to have this kid. They check you and you've dilated and here we go.
Mm-hmm.
And what does the midwife tell me? She goes, hey, you're delivering your son. I go, I just picture old Will Smith, Fresh Prince episode. Where he kind of looks at himself and, like, his eyes get all wide. He looks at himself, points to himself with his hand and goes, me? Like, mouthing the words. And so, yep, I was the obstetrician for my son.
Well, we knew you'd be catching the baby.
Yes, but they actually had me do all of it.
Right.
Now, there was points where, you know, they're changing your position.
And turning the baby. And
they had to turn Junior from back to front. He wasn't breech. He just was kind of on his side where he needed to be kind of on his belly to come out. And I'll tell you something, guys. I'm going to be completely forthright with you. This is not a sexually attractive event.
I would imagine not.
I can imagine how some guys would not want to do this. Because things are happening to your wife's body and, you know, juices are flowing and this, that, and the other that aren't exactly sexually attractive. It is not really an erotic experience, but it is very much a bonding experience and a male-female thing. And if you love your woman, it's a great thing.
Yes, it was very wonderful.
And man, it is really an amazing, amazing thing when you start seeing the baby's head show up.
Yes, and when you kept telling me you could see the baby, that was just a huge encouragement
to me. Yes, that's right. And I'm encouraging you and you're screaming and yelling, and they're telling you to stop screaming and yelling and push.
Right.
And you did a great job. You're so strong. And after 34 and a half hours of pushing and carrying on and conniving and fussing, you know, what happens? You are so close to delivering our son, and he just can't get past the pubic bone. And you had to do even more pushing and more finagling and moving bones around and all kinds of stuff that just well, frankly, freaks a novice out like me. Wasn't freaked out. It's just it was an amazing, amazing experience. You just don't ever allow yourself to think, especially in this culture, as a husband, as a father, that you'll ever be allowed to be in this position.
Right.
Literally and figuratively.
Well, it's so rare.
That's right. And sure enough, finally, you know, we were just so close. And they finally flipped you over.
Oh, yes. Goodness.
And one big...
Well, to me, it seemed like it was...
contraction.
Yeah. Right in the middle of the contraction, y'all turned me. To me, it seemed like a split moment. Looking at the video, I'm like, right. It looked like it took forever. I'm like, that's did right. It really take that long to flip me?
Oh, yeah. Then the most amazing thing happens. Half of Junior's head comes out. I mean, I can see his eyebrows. I can already tell. He sort of looks like both of us. And then with one big contraction, you just popped his head out. The poor little dude's head is out of your body. His face is a little squished up like this, right?
Right.
Of course, nobody can see, but you can kind of tell by the sound effects what I was doing. And I'm like, there's my kid. There's my kid. Emily, I can see his head. I can see his head. And of course, you know, you not being Holly Hunter from The Incredibles aren't exactly able to put your head underneath and, you know, kiss your butt goodbye and kiss your new baby. You know, if you can kiss your own butt.
I could feel the baby, but I couldn't tell what I was feeling. I just felt this odd shape.
That had to have been bizarre. But if you can't kiss your own butt goodbye, you can't see your baby yet. So I felt so bad for you because I could see our son and you couldn't yet.
Right.
Right? But you were like putting your hand back there, feeling the kid's head and going, oh, hi, baby. Hi, Junior. Like that. And it took one more big contraction.
And then there he was.
And a funny part about this, ladies and gentlemen, I am never going to look at Italian food the same ever again. We are lubing Junior's head this whole time when he's coming out with garden variety olive oil. Ironically, extra virgin olive oil. It was the only virgin thing in the whole room, of course, because we're giving birth. Well, I guess Junior is sort of a virgin.
Yes.
You know, we don't want to digress too far. But, I mean, just to smell olive oil during this whole time.
And I never smelt it.
Well, no, you were too busy. You were at the other end. We were at the business end. Olive oil is just the most, like, non-hospital situation ever.
Right.
Your son, your other son, and your parents are literally behind the door in the living room, and we're in the bedroom. One door away is everybody.
Mm-hmm. They could hear all this noise, but they didn't know what was going on.
It must have been just killer for them.
It was.
So the next contraction, you know, well-oiled machine, right? I didn't know whether it was a loaf of Italian bread or my son, but it came squirting out, and I caught him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I got the video to prove it. I caught my son. He was just beautiful. And it was amazing. The first thing my son did was he shat all over me. The meconium, their first official bowel movement.
Meconium?
Whatever it's called.
Yeah.
My son's first official bowel movement was taken all over his dad right when he was born. And, you know, if you go to the blog, right, at edumacation.com, edumckaytion.com, you'll see a picture of the shirt that I was wearing. And you'll see that shirt is never, ever, I mean, you can just soak that thing in Clorox. It's never going to be the same again.
No, it'll never be
trashed,
the same.
Right? But, you know, figure my son would, first thing he would do is take a dump all over his father when he's born. So they don't cut the cord.
No, they leave that because it's his nutrition, his way of breathing, until they get all his vitals the way they need to be.
Yeah, I mean, it made perfect sense to me.
Right. Doesn't make sense to cut the cord and try to revive the child.
Right. So it was you and I and the midwife all gave the baby a breath to coax him into breathing. None of this hanging him by his feet and whacking his butt and suctioning out his mouth. They said, let the baby just sort of bloom, right? Let him just sort of be born and get acquainted with the world. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is just, you know, California love fest thing, right? And, you know, it worked out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he finally cried and we didn't cut the cord till like a half hour later.
That's right.
And of course, it was almost anticlimactic for me to cut the cord after I'd been so directly involved in all the action.
Because
most dads get to go, hey, I got to cut my son's cord. Well, dude, let me tell you do the home birth, you're going to get a lot more than cutting the cord. And so, you know, we're parading the kid around and everybody's meeting him and they weigh him and he was 7 pounds, 4 ounces.
Right. Big kid. At least big for me because I'm so small.
Right. Exactly. And he was born at 9/12.
At night,
officially on November 17th.
That's right.
And his name is John Scott Makaja McKay Jr. And we've gotten a little grief for naming him Jr. because my third name is not Makaja. But he's named after his seventh great-grandfather who was a defender of Texas.
Yeah, we gave him your name. Plus, we gave him an extra name.
Yeah, he died at the Alamo, did his seventh great-grandfather back in 1836. And seeing as the kid was born in San Antonio, and it was just a darn cool name,
yes,
we gave it to him. Micaja is kind of this conglomeration of Micah and Elijah from the Old Testament, spelled M-I-C-A-J-A-H.
Right.
And so if he doesn't want to be Little Scotty, he can be John Scott or John, but I don't know. The kid popped out, and he's one of these kids that just looks like a boy. There's no mistaking this kid for being a girl. He looks like a little Steve McQueen or something already. I don't know. I can't figure it out. But I don't know. I think he's going to be the kind of kid who's going to dig being Micaja McKay. It has that alliteration thing going for it.
Yeah, I think so.
If he's ever a Hollywood star or, you know, a dating coach or something like that, he won't have to change his name. It'll already sound good. And that's pretty much the whole story. We would recommend the home birth.
Oh, yes. It was absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
Because we got to just enjoy, relax, and just be at home. Even after the birth, it was great because then I was able to take my shower, get cleaned up, and then hop right into my own bed.
Yeah, it was amazing. And then you could take baths along the way, which helped you out.
Oh, I was in and out of that bath and in and out of that shower so many times.
Eat food. We even gave you a little glass of wine.
That's right. I did have wine, yeah, didn't I?
That's right. We just told on you, but hey, you know, it's all going to happen at this point anyway. The kid was going to be born. Might as well have a little wine. And it really was just an amazing experience. Perfectly natural. It made perfect sense. And by the time it was all said and done, it was a very difficult birth.
Yes.
And as long as your vitals were good and Junior's were good.
They never went up.
No, everything was fine.
Everything was in the normal range, not even in the high or even close to high.
And mad props to the midwives. They did a great job.
They sure did. They knew exactly what they were doing.
And we would recommend it. Absolutely.
I always highly recommend it.
So now our little son is this little pink bundle of joy. He's perfectly happy. He's a busy one. He's a high maintenance one. And he, like I said, he doesn't sleep at all.
No, he's on your schedule.
That's right. But I'm telling you, we couldn't be happier.
Yeah.
We're just thrilled. We got pics of him on the blog.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably buried under a few posts by now. We have been not getting much sleep, so this particular podcast is long overdue. And we're happy. Everybody's healthy and happy, and that's always the most that can be expected. And I tell you, you guys out there who are out there being PUAs, if you've had the stomach to listen through this whole thing, you know you want a son of your own someday. And I tell you, I have a daughter too, and that's just as cool. Make the plans for the future. Be a guy who is setting himself up to have a great woman in his life who you can trust to be a great woman and a great mother to your children.
And same thing with the women. You know, marry a wonderful guy who's going to be there by your side, pushing you all along the way, because I looked to you for guidance during mm-hmm. the delivery. When I had a contraction, you're like, what do I do? What do I do? I said, just tell me what to do. Just tell me to breathe. Remind me. Or, you know, you would hold my hips a certain way to help me endure the, or to relieve some of the labor contractions. Right. So you were just always there for me the whole way through.
It's not how I usually hold your hips.
And
that's for sure.
And what's interesting, too, is even though you weren't for this home birth in the beginning, mm-hmm. you had the faith to put trust in me that I knew what I was doing and that I would know when to call it quits if it were necessary.
Yeah, well, I knew it was important to you, so that was fine. I just wanted a major escape hatch if we needed to go to the hospital. I needed to know that we could do that.
Right.
And my questions were answered. But I'm telling you guys and gals, like Emily said, men and women alike, make the right decisions for who you want to spend your life with. Learn how to deserve what you want and learn how to get a great partner. Because I'll tell you what, being a single parent was not fun. And I don't want to do it again. And I'm glad for Junior that he's going to, for the foreseeable future, have both of his parents around.
That's right.
That's the design. That's the plan. So thanks for listening, y'all. We're happy to tell our story. This has been kind of fun for us because we really haven't looked each other in the eye and told our whole story. So in a way, we're kind of journaling this ourselves.
Right, reliving it again.
But hopefully we entertained you a little bit and hopefully inspired you a little bit in the process too. We highly recommend it.
And I think it strengthened or made our bonds even that much stronger or closer.
I do. I think so. I think it's a bummer that, you know, we can't have sex for like 8 months afterwards. That's what it feels like.
No, actually it feels more like years.
Yeah. Well, Emily had a little bit of, you know, physical stress. Nothing worth going to the doctor for.
No.
But, you know, I had to keep it in the holster for a few weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. TMI, once again. At this time, I think we better give them our email addresses. Mine is scott@datetoorder.com, S-C-O-T @ D-A-T-E-O-R-D-E-R datetoorder.com.
And mine is Emily, E-M-I-L-Y, at datetoorder.com.
And we hope you'll check out our blog at www.edumacation.com, E-D-U-M-C-K-A-Y-T-I-O-N.com. We put up videos. We put up lots of information. It's all free all the time, folks. You're already on our newsletter, or else you wouldn't be listening to this. We thank you for that. That comes out every week, and you'll be able to look forward to, once again, lots of free and helpful information from that. And one other quick pitch while we're at it. If you haven't listened to the Chick Whisperer podcast and you're a guy, you need to go to www.thechickwhisperer.com and enter the same email address that you did and your same name that you did to listen to this podcast. And I've got a bonus podcast episode of Chick Whisperer for you with Brent Smith also. And if you haven't listened to the Chick Whisperer and you're a guy, you'll dig it. Online dating profile rating is now brought to you by Match.com.
All right. Woohoo. Woo-hoo.
Yeah, it's about time since we met there. And we've already got lots of people sending us their profiles to be included on online dating profile rating. And folks, ODPR is going to start having regular episodes once again. And that's what we're all about. Thank you once again for listening. My name is Scott McKay.
And this is Emily McKay.
Be good, folks.
And have fun.
Copyright 2007, X and Y Communications, Worldwide Media Casting Network. Visit Scott and Emily on the web and get the X and Y Communications newsletter at www.deservewhatyouwant.com. You can also join Emily's newsletter just for the ladies at www.keystobliss.com. Also, be sure to check out the brand new Dating Cast on iTunes or at www.x-net-media.com. This is Ed Roy Odom, and you've been listening to the X and Y on the Fly Dating Podcast.